oldest ever individual Olympic swimming gold medalist at the age of 35. And that does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking about you. He suspects nothing.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
Wondering why tuition has more than doubled since 1990? Angry at the lack of concern politicians have for youth issues? So are many students, but there is something we can do. Register to vote for November's election. We will be heard. And don't forget that if you are registered but have moved, you should re-register at your new address. For more information, contact NYPIRG at 632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
Do you like to savor a cup of Java in the morning? I know I do, and we're definitely not alone. New Yorkers love their coffee and drink lots of it. With that in mind, just imagine the amount of trash that's created every day by people using disposable coffee cups. There's a better alternative, you know. By using a reusable coffee mug, you can save natural resources, landfill space, and money too. It's called reuse, and it's even better than recycling. So remember, using it once is not enough. Choose to reuse.
You are, yes, okay, it is. It is Tuesday. Yes, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. That's the frequency modulation band. You can also visit WUSB.FM, and there's a lot of information there, and live streams, all sorts of scheduling, and great stuff, ways to support the station, and all that. But right now it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Indeed. This is WSB. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle. Manuel's right there.
Yay.
It's Tuesday. It's the middle of August. It's the beginning of the dog days. Dog days of summer. That's what I mean by that. It's an idiom. An idiom. Not an idiot.
I beg your pardon?
An idiom. And also the middle of the general election cycle.
Can we stop talking about the damn election? I am so sick of hearing about this election. It's driving me insane. It's driving the whole world insane. I really, really just want to take a break from this. But seriously, do you hear what Trump said? I mean, wow. I want to figure this out. How many times do you think the word Trump has been said in the last year on mass media?
I would say more than a million.
Oh, my God, more than a million in a day?
Yeah.
So it's probably a number that we can calculate.
Well, I was listening to a talk actually from the Hackers on Planet Earth conference series.
Have you been watching those videos?
Yeah, they're really good. I was in stitches last night. I was like falling over laughing at Jason Scott's talk, which is really heartwarming and brilliant. He's an amazing speaker, and it was a lot of fun to watch that. But
Can I just say, we've been working nonstop on these damn videos since the end of the conference. We haven't had a single day off trying to get them into a format that's going to be pleasing to the eye and working with other people as well to make it something we're proud of. We've gotten to that stage. We're almost completely done. It will be done this week, and we're thrilled about that. And also, we've been watching some videos. And, Kyle, I heard you laughing up a storm last night watching the Jason Scott talk.
Now, he's really witty. He's a great speaker, but he's really a witty guy. Mm-hmm. And I like humor. I love to laugh. So that was easily a favorite just in the moment. But the other talk was the Australian guy who did the listening post. He's got a listening post in his house. He's really an interesting guy.
Yeah. He watches TV from like all kinds of parts of the world.
Right.
And he's able to record everything.
Well, he was pointing out Broadcast House, BBC, as an interesting origin for thousands, literally thousands. I mean, you think of BBC, okay, I got the, let's see, there's probably the one in the UK, and then there's, okay, BBC America, that's two. No, really, there are thousands and thousands of feeds that come from that building.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed that out. I thought that was really interesting. And when you think about that, that one network has thousands of feeds and signals and shows and programming originating there. How many channels we have? Maybe a couple hundred international channels. When you get down to local or the regional level or whatnot,
all different languages.
National level, you get 20, 30 channels there. Mm-hmm. Then translated, as you said, translated channels, and all of these new things too, podcasting and live streams.
He's watching all the podcasts and live streams too.
No. But I'm saying, of the traditional modes and channels of content for news, where they would be saying that word, I will just say that word,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot alone. But then we have all these now, pundits and YouTubementarians and all these people, professional YouTubementarians. I don't know.
Is that a word? You just make that up?
I just made that up.
Wow.
But people who are making their own programming independently, is that's flourishing with the advent of all these streaming and mobile technologies and so on and so forth. So there are many, many, many more than just the traditional outlets who themselves have thousands of channels. That's my point.
Okay. Well, now, did you start with something? You said you were watching the video.
We were talking about how many utterances of the T word,
right,
there have been in the last year. And I'm just pointing out that any one channel could have thousands of feeds in and of themselves. So in a day, yeah, you're right. Probably over a million. Maybe a million is low for even a day.
Yeah, I think that's it's insane. And
I'm
I
sure
think
that
in the end, it's going to just be about getting name recognition out there. That's what this is all about.
Branding.
I think so, because
it's branding.
Look at all the free advertising this guy has gotten. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know the benefit, to be honest. I really don't know. I mean, imagine being this person and having all this attention to me, that would be a prison of some sort. You can never get away from it. You can never, ever have anything close to a normal life.
Well, it's like automatic delusion.
Uh-huh.
You know, delusion autopilot or something. Like, you don't really have to put that much in effort-wise to that delusion. It's just there. Actually, maybe delusion is sort of something that's effortless. But despite this, you know, it's ready-made. Just add orange.
Well, okay, yes. I was thinking, though, it's August now. September, October, November.
Yeah,
okay.
3 months.
3 months, this will be over one way or another. Is it possible in 3 months it will stop and we won't be hearing Trump's voice and Trump's quotes and allusions to Trump every single waking moment? Will it be over?
You're saying we all have Stockholm Syndrome?
I don't know. It's a worse syndrome than that, I think. But
or we'll have like withdrawals. For like
no, I just wonder what is life going to be like without this? Because
yeah.
We've been going through this for so long, and it never seems to have a break, and it never seems to be devoid of content. Well, other than the fact that it is devoid of content, but you know, there's never a lack of new source material, all equally devoid of content, obviously. But you know, if this ends, what will happen to him? I don't care. Don't mistake what I'm asking as concern, but I'm curious. Remember how McCain, when he lost the election to Obama, he just spent the next few years just nitpicking everything Obama did because he was really pissed off at losing. What's Trump going to do? Is anybody going to listen to him? Is anyone going to care? Is he going to have another TV show? Is he going to just lose interest in everything? I wonder. I'm curious. And, you know, I'm not even considering the unthinkable that, I mean, should we consider that? Should we consider that this lunatic could actually become commander in chief? And if we do consider that, should we be considering what we're going to do about it? Because, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that they can't live here in that situation. Not the people that he's saying won't be allowed to live here anymore once he gets elected. I'm saying people who simply will not be able to function in that kind of a society and who are making plans to go somewhere else. You know, it's interesting. There's this this new HBO program that's coming out, I think, in September about a weed dealer on a bicycle. I don't know the name of it. You've seen some promos.
High Maintenance.
Is that what it's called?
High Maintenance, yeah. It's about a guy. It's about weed delivery services, but it's kind of cool. It's like a
What's High Maintenance
seems like
about
a drama.
That? It seems like low maintenance to me.
Oh man, if you've known anyone who's ever sold a dime bag, you know,
is that what or was it the bike? Which is the high maintenance? I'm not sure which way the show's going.
Yeah, maybe
go.
The bike has to get maintained because he deals so much.
Well, in any event, this program is coming out next month, and I already saw some scenes from it. And one of the scenes, somebody mentions that well, we're planning on leaving the country if Trump wins. They already managed to write a program, have dialogue, film it, and have it air before the election. With that particular bit of dialogue that so many people I have heard say, if Trump wins, I'm leaving. It's incredible. That shows you how long this process has been taking. Enough time for, you know, a series to be developed, scripted, filmed, and aired, all while the election cycle is happening.
I think that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
that it's but we are living in a 24-hour news cycle. We are living in a real-time sort of higher frequencies of information and those changes, those things come to us so much faster with mobile technology and the ever-present interconnectedness that mm-hmm. we have now versus in the past. So it's not surprising that shows like Mr. Robot that have a lot of hacking stuff and a lot of hacktivism and subject matter that is current, parallel themes to ongoing cases and personalities within the hacking community. So that's not uncommon. I think we're going to see more of that feeling of the pulse of society and then incorporating that right into something that's prescient and
mm-hmm.
A new story for TV. It's good that they do that though, because it's being relatable and helps people get around a program and have it be an approachable source of material. But I think the other thing in that is that You know, I disagree. I don't think, I mean, do you think that's a good plan to leave? If,
oh, no.
I really don't think that's really...
I plan on staying.
Yeah, me too.
I plan on learning how to make Molotov cocktails and do it right, you know?
Yeah.
The good kind.
Yeah.
Seriously, we will be in the resistance. There will be a resistance.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I would be more concerned if I was a Republican, because this guy supposedly is representing me, and... you know, I'm sure there are some people, there are obviously people out there who buy into this crap, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people that I fiercely disagree with on many issues still are sane enough to know this guy is out of his mind and will do tremendous harm to the country and to society in general, and probably deal a fatal blow to the Republican Party. So I would be very concerned if I was a Republican seeing this happen. You know, those of us on the left, in a way, there's a vicarious thrill about all this, saying, wow, just how crazy can this possibly get? But at some point, you know, as he, you know, inches closer and closer to the Oval Office, you got to say, okay, wait a minute, who's going to stop this? And, you know, if somebody does stop this, and I'm talking about, you know, somebody actually taking him out, because... hey, you know, he's talking about all kinds of violent solutions to problems. Might as well talk about the violent solution to the problem of Trump, because don't think people aren't talking about this.
Well,
if that does happen, I would look towards people in the Republican camp as most concerned with this, because they see how it's going to completely demolish everything they stand for, and they can't allow that to happen. So that's just where I would be thinking if I was in that particular political camp. It's, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it exactly, but they have to figure out a way to get this guy, you know, if he is on the verge of winning, to get this guy not to ever have any actual power. Because you're talking about somebody who has said that we should use nuclear weapons, you know, that has no understanding of world affairs, didn't know that Russia had invaded part of Ukraine. Probably can't find most countries on a map, probably doesn't know the names of most countries, and certainly doesn't know the names of world leaders or anything like that. Things that, you know, people in positions of power should know. All of this will destroy a lot of things this country stands for, a lot of things this country is. So I think Republicans right now, they're meeting in back rooms trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? Do we, like, you know, slip him a drug or something? Do we, you know, just have him sign something that will start a scandal and have him be forced to resign? Do we go to even further extremes and just, you know, kidnap him or worse, to have him not serve as our party representative? There are conversations like that happening. I'm certain of it. And yeah, I just wonder how it's going to play out. The people on the left, they're having a great time. I mean, watch the talk shows. There's so much material. You don't even have to write the material. It writes itself. You know, he said last week that Obama founded ISIS. Obama and Clinton founded ISIS. He said that. And when pressed, okay, but you're being, you know, somewhat, you're saying this symbolically. Oh, no, I mean it literally. You know, and insisted that he actually was saying this, that they founded a terrorist organization. And then when everything hit the fan and everybody was saying this guy's out of his mind, he said, oh, I was being sarcastic. The media can't take a joke. You know, he's basically delusional. And I kind of think maybe he actually is delusional. Maybe there's some issues going on here where this is symptomatic of a condition.
Megalomania?
I've seen people do this kind of thing where they basically say crazy things 1 minute and then they're kind of normal the next. He might have that condition. It's something that should be looked at. I don't know if anybody's doing it. I don't know if anybody dares to do that. These are scary times for everybody, you know? And I really wonder, it can't really get much crazier as far as the things he said. What else can he say? He's accused Clinton and Obama of starting ISIS, right? What was the other big thing last week?
there's stuff even today. Now Roger Ailes is his advisor or something. We were just hearing that on the way in.
Yeah, you know, okay, but you can't blame that on Trump because Roger Ailes, this is the guy that was forced to resign from Fox News for sexual harassment. There's just so many things about that. So Fox News, first of all, you could probably have a debate on Fox News about why sexual harassment actually isn't harassment. I'm sure you could swing that through their programming department. But this guy was forced to resign from Fox News for sexual harassment, and now he is advising Trump on how
to behave,
how to debate Hillary Clinton,
yes,
and how to win over women voters.
Yes.
Who writes this? Who makes this up? Because if I said that was going to happen, nobody would have believed me.
That's today. That's today. That is a case in point for what you said about it writing itself.
It did write.
It's writing itself.
You don't need me. That's for sure.
What do we even say? How do we add to that?
But that's not. You see, okay, Trump is in the middle of that, but Roger Ailes is the person doing it, and someone had to set that up. It's not all Trump. You know, we can say, as I just did, that there's so many issues with him. He's a danger. He might be mentally unstable. But there are other things in the Republican Party that are supporting this. And, you know, even if Trump does go away, that remains. That's still there. And those millions and millions of people who support him, they're all still there as well, even though I have yet to meet one. I still haven't met one.
Right. Let's reiterate. That's the danger. I mean, that is the validation of that segment, that dark side. And maybe we need to see it a little more. Maybe we need to just get a little reminder as a society. It's terrible to think, and it would be pretty lousy to witness, but that seems to be what we want. So here we go.
It's not what we want. It's what's there. And it's, you know, people say, oh, there's no racial issues in this country.
Yeah.
And the people who say, yeah, there are, they're not the ones who are saying, we want there to be racial strife in the country. No, they're the ones saying, it's not over. It's not solved. We haven't moved past so many things. And all you have to do to realize this is look around you. Listen to people. Read the damn forums after every news story. Or look at the Trump people. This is real. This is not something that is conjured up. And if anything, and if Trump gets any credit, he's proven that. He's shown that. He's shown how big this problem still is. And we need to figure out how to deal with it, how to move past it.
It's rhetoric, and it plays, and it's very, very powerful when you play on that weakness and in this sense of oppression or of being got, right, of suffering. And he's playing upon that as well as fear. And, yeah, I mean, I guess want is probably not the right way to put it. It's not something we want, but it is something that is being unearthed. There is light, a spotlight on this issue, and their entire platform, their position is to go and run in an opposite direction than what we've than what enlightened people, I think, around the world have decided is the opposite of mm-hmm. where we're going to go as a human race. And that's, I think, the really disappointing, really sad part. The xenophobia and nationalism is the opposite direction and counterproductive
mm-hmm.
In entirety. So that said, now that we are looking at it as a society, we need to call it what it is. And I think we need to speak up. We need to speak up to these people we don't know and not be afraid of politics, mm-hmm. not be afraid of the discussion.
And not be drawn into all the ugliness, because that's fairly easy to have happen.
Well, and I think that was attempted with some of the conventions, this unity conversation. How do we unify parties? How do we unify a country? This whole, is America great? Does it need to be great again? You know, was it ever? Is it now? All this kind of stuff is polarizing. And at the end of the day, we're still a cohesive nation who has to come together based on these states, you know, the state representation and so on. Like, we must participate in our system, but also distinguish between inflammatory rhetoric and an actual political discourse?
It's very easy to get people upset at their current state, to say that, look at these minorities, they have advantages that you don't have, and you're having trouble paying the mortgage, and it's because of them, when it's got nothing to do with them in the first place. It's got nothing. There is no them. It's not this us versus them mentality, which is what they want you to believe. And that, if you look at things that are going on in the world, whether it's relationships with police officers or the economy, job situation, anything, there is always this this desire to make it into some kind of a confrontation between one group and another. And that way, if you isolate that group, they get blamed for everything. They get blamed for crime. They get blamed for unemployment and all sorts of things. And they bring it on themselves. It creates this this sense of outrage, this sense that these people are being oppressed and they have to do something about it. And it plays into the hands of people like Trump and people who are pushing that kind of agenda.
Well, and it makes them not us, and they are us. We are all one. And when you create the other and make it a binary of good versus evil, black, white, that polar or binary construction, social construction, is not real.
No. No, it's completely not. And it's divisive. It's harmful.
They're reconstructing a framework that has been something that many generations of people have fought against and pushed in another direction. They're trying to have another framework, another social construction within the context that we're all sort of. That's, I think, why there's so much people are taken aback, because it is occurring within something that everyone has worked. A lot of people have worked very hard, and a lot of progress has been made. And so to see it trying to be propped up as, you know, like a big tent it's distressing.
Well, you know, they by they, I mean people who are in this camp, you know, the Trump camp, and a lot of people in the conservative wing as well, they are fixated, really incredibly fixated on this radical Islamic terror thing. You know, they insist on saying that at every possible opportunity and pointing the finger at people who don't say it. And, you know, that is a tool. It's a clever tool. It's a way of making people seem as if, for whatever reason, and what reason would that be exactly, they don't want to identify a particular a perpetrator of awful things. They refuse to say radical Islamic terror. Why won't they say that? Are they radical Islamic terrorists themselves? I mean, that's pretty much what Trump said last week. What is the actual reason? And you don't get to the point where you actually consider that, hey, you know what? There actually is a very good reason for not saying that. That, of course, the reason is that it's not accurate. The radical Islamic terror is not the only source of terrorist acts. I'm sure it's a leading source, no question there. But there are many, many sources of terrorism. It's happening all over the place. And also your definition of terrorism. What is that? How do you, you know, if you use a drone to take out a village and you kill all these innocent people, is that not an act of terror in their eyes, if not in our eyes? You know, it's a very slippery slope, that when you start saying that all terrorism is the result of Islamic people, because that is what you're saying by defining it that way and by only saying it in those terms. What you should be saying, and this is my challenge to them, if you're going to point to the finger, say that the cause is radical fundamentalism. I mean, that's what it is. The only thing I've done, I've taken the word Islamic out of it because, well, you know, all sorts of terrorist acts are based on fundamentalist beliefs, and whether it's radical Christianity, radical Judaism, radical every religion has this to some degree. Yeah, sure, some are more than others. There's
radical
no question about
Satanists.
That. But that is the radical Satanist, really. That is the that
the
is
extreme
the,
wing.
The common theme is fundamentalism. It's this belief. you know, in your way or no other way, and all people who don't believe what you believe should die. And it's the enemy of rational people everywhere. They will not say that. So when they challenge you to say radical Islamic terror, challenge them to say radical fundamentalism. The reason they won't say it is because that includes a lot of their supporters, a lot of their ultra right wing conservative religious people sipping, support what they say.
Jesus juice sipping.
And if you start looking at the doctrine, if you start reading the holy books, you'll see all sorts of things, all sorts of evil that is basically being decreed.
Oh yeah,
as what people should do if they do this, et cetera, et cetera.
All the tit for tat, eye for eye.
People burning in hell for eternity. That kind of, you know, not very nice pictures being painted there. If you take it all literally, as they are prone to do with the Quran or with anything Islamic, you sort of see the similarities, all right? And while this particular point in history, yeah, there are more terrorist acts coming from one particular camp than others, that will change. It has changed in the past. It will change in the future. So by defining it in this one narrow way, yeah, you suit your agenda, but you're not defining it properly. So challenge them to do that. And then maybe, you know, maybe you'll have a dialogue then. I doubt it, but at least you'll understand what this is really all about.
Yeah, and the acts, I think, don't from one group or another, the weighting of the act isn't, I mean, an Islamic act is no more devastating than a bombing done by any other fundamentalist. So by weighting it that way and suggesting that there's an emphasis or the overwhelming majority or whatever you want to say about that particular group, you're biasing towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Without really taking into account, as you said, other forms of fundamentalism and radical expression.
Now, right here in New York, we had an imam and his assistant, Muslims, executed in the streets of Queens. And they caught a guy that they say is responsible for this. Now, from the beginning, they've been downplaying that this is an act of terrorism. Actually, nobody's even considered it's an act of terrorism or that it's even a hate crime. And they have not been able to explain why this guy came up behind these two people dressed in Muslim garb and shot them both in the head and killed them in the street in the middle of the day. This kind of thing clearly to me is something that is targeted. There's no apparent connection between these people. And the fact that this guy appears to be Hispanic instead of a white guy means that they're not considering it a hate crime. I don't understand that logic. I don't get the logic at all. There's clearly something going on as far as feelings towards people of a particular religion. And it's fostered by the dialogue, the unhealthy dialogue that's taking place where they are being seen as the enemy. So that you have somebody who may have just decided on a whim, oh, these people are evil, I'm going to kill them. How is that not as much an act of terror as some guy who is of that religious faith killing other people because of who they are? It's the same thing. It's just going in a different direction. And it needs to be identified as such. And there's a lot of reaction to people who are saying Trump is responsible for this sort of thing. A lot of people being very defensive, saying, how can you blame Trump? How can you blame Trump? The fact that we are even talking about this kind of thing because of the things he has said, that because of what he started his whole campaign with, you know, whether it's anti-Mexican, anti-Muslim, just this hate speech, it inspires people to do awful things.
We don't even need to say that, though. I mean, come on. For the last 15 years, this is what we pretty much predicted would happen
mm-hmm.
prior to going to Iraq again. So blame Bush.
Well, yeah, okay.
Right?
If you're looking at the bigger picture, absolutely.
Fine. Forget Trump's rhetoric, of course. I mean, yeah, that goes without saying. But yeah, blame Bush.
Well,
why not?
If you're going to say anybody founded ISIS, yeah, you should say it's Bush. Because there would be no ISIS were it not for the U.S. invasion of Iraq. I'm certain of that. And that's something you can easily back up with
it
facts,
was
actual
about
facts.
Our reaction to the terrorist attacks on 9/11, and everything. I was in school. I was sitting in sociology classes talking about this,
but
basically the backlash on these representatives, these people in our community was going to amount to this.
But I'm confused, Kyle. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It was Saudi Arabian citizens.
It was conflated by the Bush administration as something related to it.
It was. I mean, people were saying this at the time, that there's no evidence. This is false. We're being lied to. And now it all comes out. Oh, yeah, it was false. No evidence. We were being lied to. Whoops, you know, our bad, and that's supposed to be it. These guys should be charged with crimes. They should be in The Hague. They should be in prison. And, you know, that is a patriotic duty, I think, of any global citizen, is to try and make that happen. Absolutely. Now, the right wing in this country, they have this, I guess it's called Bush amnesia. In fact, we saw it yesterday when Trump was giving his they called it a terror speech, and it was a terror speech, believe me.
Yeah.
He had Giuliani in front of him giving one of the intros. Giuliani has what I call Bush amnesia. You know, he said that before Obama, there were no successful terrorist acts, Islamic terrorist acts in this country. What, 9/11? You were the mayor during 9/11. You actually did a good job during 9/11.
We have a phone call.
I'm sure we do. I'm sure we have letters and telegrams. Yeah. Point is, look, he was mayor of New York City that got hit harder than any other place.
Yes.
And he's saying that Obama somehow is responsible for that? I mean, what are these people all delusional?
Yes.
Seriously. Are they delusional? What is wrong with them? How can he say something like that?
It's 15 years ago. This is revisionism. This is people in power talking to dumb people who are young, who are coming up. If you conflate this as various generations transition from here to there, recollections of these things don't necessarily matter.
But it's only 15
years ago.
You get
to make it up.
It's only 15 years ago.
That's plenty of time to make up something else.
Not very good revisionism. It really isn't. I mean,
but that's what's going on. And here now we have executions in the middle of the street, and we can't get enough people to even ask questions about it. Why are we so surprised? That's the outrage.
Okay.
Why hasn't it happened sooner?
I didn't say I was surprised. I'm not surprised, but I am upset. And I'm going to continue to say that
yes.
This is wrong.
Yes.
And that we need to speak up about it and try to point out, because I think a lot of people are not realizing the facts. They're listening to what they're being told by certain people and in good faith believing them. But they're being lied to just as they were being lied to 15 years ago.
Well, and also think of the person. Like, all right, I'm not going to be ageist and so on with Giuliani, but think about his personal delusional bubble that he might, like, how all of that went for him and what he attributes his own actions.
If anybody should remember, it's him, because he was right there when it was going on.
Right, but what has he done since then? Like, is he really, I mean, he could have wandered off in his own little, like, fantasy land of how that all went and what it was all, and nobody checked back and said, like, hey, you know, are you, got all your marbles and stuff? I mean, he could be on one, and people just, you know, caught up with him and are like, you know, this could work. All right, just let him go. Give him a couple boosts and, you know.
Oh, no. No, talk about extreme vetting, which is what Trump brought up yesterday. Extreme vetting for all the foreigners that are going to cause trouble in this country. Because
are you suggesting that?
The Republicans, they need some extreme vetting. They need
some
simple vetting, any vetting. Because, you know, okay, Giuliani, when was 9/11? What year was that? That was under Obama. Okay, you know what? We'll call you. Go home and get some rest. You know, when it's obvious people are completely either making things up or delusional or just not with it, it's not going to do you much good. It really isn't. You might fool some of the people, but some of the people is not going to be enough.
Have them send a rough draft, you know, of just the outline of your speech and we'll talk.
Last week, you know, we don't even have time to get to all the Trump things. Last week, Trump suggested that Second Amendment people basically deal with Hillary Clinton.
That they could, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I just want to address the people who say things like, it's obvious he was joking. Okay, you know what? I agree. He was joking. He's not actually saying, people, go get your guns and kill Hillary Clinton when she appoints liberal justices. I don't think he's saying that. Although, you know, it's not that he's getting there. He's getting to that point. I don't think he's there yet. But he is joking about assassination, and there is no question about that. And here's how we can determine that. He's saying that he's not talking about the Second Amendment people will go out and vote. He's not saying that, because if you listen to what he actually says, he says she's going to appoint liberal judges and there's nothing you can do about it at that point. At that point is after she has been elected, when she is appointing judges. Oh, maybe the Second Amendment people can do something about it. At that point, voting, it's too late for voting. She's already in power. So what does he mean by that? What will the Second Amendment people do after the election? It's obvious what he is talking about, whether it's facetiously or not. He's talking about assassination. There is no question.
It's not
at
even,
least own up to it.
It's not even a dog whistle. It's a bad, bad, like a large alarm. One of those clangy awooga or like a big bell or a gong. Yeah, it's a gong.
Uh-huh.
It's not a dog whistle. It's a big, huge gong.
I think, you know, we watched the show Rick and Morty. It's a good,
oh, yeah,
it's a good
we
program. Watch,
we love that show. Yeah.
It's based on reality, too.
It is.
And there is one episode where Rick, he becomes 18 years old. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Tiny Rick.
Tiny Rick. And he sings a song while he's Tiny Rick, basically saying, this is not a song.
Oh,
let me out. I'm trapped inside a tube.
He gets all emo.
Because his real body is trapped inside a tube and wants to come out, and he's expressing himself through his 18-year-old persona.
This is not a song.
But nobody is hearing that. They're dancing along to and repeating the words.
Right.
I think Trump is in that position. I think he's saying, I don't want this. I'm trying to be crazy. I'm trying to get out of it. Let me out.
It's a cry.
And nobody is paying attention. Nobody.
A full cry. A huge, enormous, tremendous cry for help.
I think if we had done a better job,
yes,
last week in Issaquag, when he was appearing at that person's home, only a few miles from here, we should have continued driving past that cop, would have taken some gunfire, but it wouldn't have been that much, and we should have kidnapped him. We should have gotten to that house. We knew where it was. We should have grabbed him, thrown him. Well, throw him in the trunk. Well, no, throw him in the trunk because he's going to never shut up. Drive him someplace else, and then when we open the trunk, you know what he will say? Thank you. He will say thank you to us because he's trying to get out of this and no one's taking it seriously. You know, and I think if you just basically stop the nightmare for him, he'll have some peace finally. You know, what other explanation can there possibly be? Why would somebody say so many crazy things? Why would somebody be so offensive? It's like some bizarre fantasy where he's trying to offend people and just simply winning over more and more fans. It's like Life of Brian, you know, where Brian is trying not to be the savior. He's saying all these things and people just keep following him no matter what. And what do you do? How can we help Trump get out of this? I think is our role right now.
Trump exit strategy.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
We need to help him.
That is a project.
These are cries for help. Rather than being offended by what he says, let's look at what it really is. It's the guy is in trouble.
Can we use holograms somehow?
If I don't know. I don't have that technology. If one of our listeners does, then yes.
Maybe we like can incorporate a Trump hologram. I'll work on it. Do you have any more of those napkins you used for Phonehenge?
No. That was an embarrassing story.
I'm sorry.
At the conference, we had a display called Phonehenge. You know, our whole theme was we were taking it to 11, hope number 11, and we decided to have a little display called Phonehenge. And we had a great model, and I just wrote it down on a napkin, and I wrote MM for, I thought I was writing meters for the display, and instead apparently MM is millimeters. And the artist gave me exactly what I asked for. So the display was, if you were at Hope, you might have seen some displays of historic telephones that were very, very small.
Before it got stepped on.
Before it got stepped on Saturday afternoon. And I don't even blame the person who did that because they probably didn't look where they were going and they probably didn't even hear the crunch when they stepped on it. But, yeah, that could have been done better. Everything else, though, I think worked out. But that clearly did not.
No, but the tiny little ATMs.
It was great. It was so good.
They were stacked. I mean, it looked. I mean, the model I thought was a model, and then that was it. It was.
Apparently, my phone can't take little tiny pictures either because the picture I have of it is just a blur. So that's like all my pictures, actually. Well, the email address for us is otw@2600.com. We don't get enough email. Please don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to write. Don't be afraid to write us. Don't be afraid to express your thoughts. Don't be afraid to look like an idiot. We face this every week, and we always come through and look completely like idiots.
Just can I just say one thing? Just please don't take it so seriously. It's just words after all. So use the form. I mean, we have an incredible capacity to communicate at any hour, and we love to read what people have to say and get a little bit of feedback or new ideas, stuff to look into, stuff for us to track down, or that you think we might want to share with other listeners.
Yeah, don't take it too seriously, but at the same time, don't minimize the effect your words can have, because what you say matters. You're told all the time that what you say doesn't matter, has absolutely no effect on anything, but it really does. Everybody who speaks, everybody who thinks, has an impact of a sort, and that's how we get where we are. Look at what we're dealing with right now in this election. I mean, come on. That should be proof enough that anybody can say anything, and it could mean something. So your ideas might be the ideas that actually change things. We all change the world one way or another. Hey, I picked an outro. I hope you agree with this, Kyle. It's a song about America that I think is very apropos. I'm saying it right? I don't want to mispronounce words. It basically is. Why are you destroying a phone?
You decided
you're going to destroy a phone at this moment? Is that really necessary?
No, I'm trying to put it back together.
Destroy the entire studio later.
It fell apart.
Because you picked it up and turned it upside down. That's why it fell apart.
Trying to reset things.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, go on. I'm listening.
I'm trying to talk about a serious matter.
It sounds important.
It's a song about America. All right? The country that we live in.
Like America.
All right? And it's kind of historic. It's very touching, very moving. And I think it says things better than I think I can say. It's from one of my favorite groups, Spinal Tap. I hope people take this to heart, and we'll see you again next week.
They've got a new album coming out, don't they?
I can hardly wait. I'm Pins and Needles.
Yeah, I think it's Lick the Shoe, but anyway.
Here's America. Good night.
We came like babies from a home across the sea to see America, and the people opened up their arms to welcome us to America. We came like children from a far and distant land to see America and the golden sun of freedom. Built it down to us in America.